leading me right into today's guests here on WGXC. Amy Rigby and Reckless Eric are here. Hi.
Hi.
Hello. Yeah.
Oh.
What do we do now?
Well, you can talk. You can lean a little closer to the microphone. Okay. Or yeah. Or bring the microphone closer to you.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
is
right.
This thing on?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you know, you guys are simultaneously the most professional and the least professional
yeah.
people I've ever had.
It's a difficult line to walk.
How do you
do
it?
That's our job.
I thought it was a trajectory. No, but it's a line to walk. Well, I think we're just a shambles, really. Yeah. But it's nice in here. It's very cold.
It's a paradise.
Yeah, it's very hot outside. I don't know if you know.
It's like, you know, you can kind of picture the little icicle dripping over the edge of the windowsill kind of thing in here.
In here? You
yeah.
Can. Yeah, it's freezing.
And off your vocal microphone.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe off your, like, eyelashes and stuff. I'm grateful because I go into every summer thinking I'm too smart to get an air conditioner. Like, oh, I don't like that whole close up the house, kind of breathe the recycled air kind of vibe. And then we get into these heat waves and I'm just like, wow, I am an idiot for not having an air conditioner.
Yeah, but it's like sleeping in a room with a tractor.
Yeah,
you know, if you go to a Motel 6, they have this huge air conditioner, and you can have it like Siberia in there while the tarmac's melting outside, and it's like being in a room with a tractor.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah, Jess is giving me a bring up the mics sign.
Oh, that's signal. Yeah. Now that's sounding more like how when we were. Sort of running through things before they see.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
Well, maybe you didn't bring the mics up far enough, you know, blaming your unprofessionalism on our unprofessionalism.
There's so much blame to go around.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm all the way at the top here.
Hello.
I've got them as high as they can go. Eric.
What?
Yeah, woo!
I'm speaking into this thing.
I mean, Eric's got such a loud
voice.
I
know,
usually
but not
we make
when
him stand
I mean,
behind a glass.
Yeah,
panel,
yeah. I mean,
you know?
It's like, you know that comedy record? I don't know if you had it over here. It was a version of the Banana Boat song, and like the guy was too loud, and they had to have him stand at the back, and then they had him standing in the next room, and then he was standing down. Have you ever heard that?
No, but I would love that.
I'll try and find it for you.
Deo?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, and they go, too loud, man. So he has to keep going further out and further out.
Carries for blocks.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, he's louder than the rest. That's me. But only when we play. When I'm like talking, I'm not very loud, apparently. I haven't got the frequency.
Oh, yeah. I know what you... Okay, so low, like low frequencies just don't go over the radio as you just can't hear them as well. Is that what you're saying?
No, it's just me. I haven't got any frequencies.
Oh. Wow. I'm going to have to think about that and I'll have something to say about it in about 2 days.
Right.
I'll have to process that.
Me too.
Yeah, Amy
has to. I married a cyborg.
Amy has to. I like the way you say process. We don't. We say process. We have to process it, but you process it.
Yeah, yeah. That's one of those potato, potato things.
Yeah, oh, there are words in America that I don't say, you know. God, it's been a bit of an accident in the corner. It was nothing to do with us.
You know,
I hear there's a ghost at WGXC. Isn't there a famous ghost in here?
So I'm not really giving you guys a proper introduction.
No.
Because you're kind
of
my friends, you know, like, and I think I secretly thought, like, let's just banter.
Let's just banter.
But that's a total disservice to the listening public.
What, are you going to do it now? Because I'm scared, you know. I mean, like, we go on the BBC and things. We might have heard of the BBC, you know, Home Service and that.
Is that still going?
Yes.
It's like down to like it's down to like BBC 1 and 2 now, right?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
There's 4 too.
No, there's Radio 4, which I always call the Home Service. It used to be the BBC Home Service, the third program, that was the classical one. Radio 2 used to be called the Light Program, and it was light music. I mean, it was really, it used to, my mum used to do the vacuum cleaning and like washing and wringing out sheets through a wringer to the light program.
Okay, you know what? I brought in a CD a couple of weeks ago that was like Muzak recorded at Abbey Road with like top English, like Philharmonic musicians. And I bet that's what they played.
Well,
it was from like the early 70s and
Victor
stuff.
Victor Sylvester, well, this would be the early 60s, even the late 50s. And like they played Victor Sylvester. And I used to want to kill myself sometimes, even though I was too young to know anything about killing yourself. You know, I mean, like I was a suicidal infant, thanks to Victor Sylvester and his orchestra.
Well, we went on, I don't know if you remember, I don't think it's on anymore, Steve Jones, you know, from the Sex Pistols, had this radio show out in L.A. And
was it like a satellite radio show or something?
It was on K-Rock, and I think you could get it anywhere. And he... Well, he had Eric on as a guest, you know, two old punkers talking about the old days. And but there was a point where he put on that music you're talking about, that music.
I made him put some music on because it was so boring.
Playing behind you guys.
You ever get out and play anything in it? Yeah, get out and play something sometimes. I don't like Millets. Oh, I do. I used to Nick Harrington's from Millets back in the day. Yeah.
He was like the least dynamic host you've ever heard in your
really?
Life.
Really? Like even like more so than me.
No, he puts
Casey
you in
Casey,
the shade,
you know.
You know? This is all too ritzy for us. But
you're Wolfman Jack, you know, compared to him.
We put on the test card music at the BBC because they only had TV for an hour in the morning for kids, you know, music and movement, and then it closed down until like the afternoon. And then they'd have some religious program, and then they'd have some really retarded programs for children, and then they'd have the BBC News, and then they'd have a whole program of rubbish in the evening that shut down at 11 o'clock.
Wow.
And in between, they used to have this... There was a girl sitting by a blackboard with noughts and crosses on it, a photo, and there was all these bits of stars and zigzags and stuff around it, which was the test card, and they played test card music, which is probably that stuff that was recorded at Abbey Road.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. I could listen to that stuff all day, actually.
Very
I don't know.
Soothing, yeah.
Okay, so Eric, you are in Amy's words. So you were on Stiff Records, and you had like hits and stuff like that.
Well, sort of, yeah, yeah. I mean, well, I was definitely on Stiff Records. You know, I was on the payroll even, which was a bit strange. That's what they did. They put you on the payroll and didn't pay you any royalties.
Oh, wow.
And
front end or back end, right? Like, when do you want the money? Now or later?
Yeah, so long you add it up. And like, I did add it up, and it depressed me, actually, you know. I did, you know, years of servitude, penal servitude.
Wow.
For Stiff Records. Yes, with Elvis Costello, Nick Lowe, Ian Dury, Larry Wallace, who was in the Pink Fairies. And it was all funded by Lee Brillo, who was the singer in a band called Dr. Feelgood, who were like a minor religion in England.
Wow.
Yeah. And yes. And yeah, that was how I got my start. Yes.
And Amy? Amy, okay, so... I would explain. I saw the last Roundup play like in somebody's house on the Lower East Side, I think.
Oh yeah, we did. We started in, you know, like this thing called country rock or sort of cowpunk, or I don't know. It's come back so many times. Like young people, hey, we could play acoustic instruments, and isn't country music great? And
yeah,
and you just think you invented it, you know. And that's what we were doing in like.
The mid-80s,
and it was great because we all lived in apartments in the East Village, so we didn't have to like have a rehearsal space because we could rehearse in my brother's apartment. He put up all those chicken, you know, those egg cartons to soundproof, which actually really didn't do any good. But we practiced in there, and we'd haul these instruments all over in the, you know, they used to have checker cabs, and thank God, because we had an upright bass. So that would not fit in a regular taxi now.
Wow.
And then, so that was last round up.
And then the Shams were kind of a girl group. And then you made solo records, like singer-songwriter records. And then you guys moved to France.
Yeah, I met...
I've got a few holes in my...
I met Eric. I was actually playing one of Eric's songs just, you know, occasionally in my set. And a promoter in Hull, a town in England, where he'd actually written the song, put us together at a show.
He said, will you come and DJ, like be the guest DJ at this gig, like, because I was going to play the next night in Hull, and he said, like, Amy Rigby's playing, I'm putting her on, and like, you could be the DJ, and like, you ought to meet her, she does one of your songs. So I did, and I came, and I was covered in snow. And because it was November or December or something.
So just how we were describing it before, like the icicles coming off
the eyebrows. It really
was,
yeah, but it was because it was...
encircling his face.
Yeah, I crossed the Humber Bridge. I mean, I nearly didn't get there because I crossed the Humber Bridge and I thought, God, there's gannets swooping down everywhere. And it was like large sheets of ice that were crashing around the car. And... when I got to the other side, like you have to stop and pay, like the Rip Van Winkle Bridge it was, and the guy said, "Oh, you're just in time. You know, we've shut the bridge now. You're the last one across."
Wow.
So anyway, I came in and I was a bit confused because I just was, and then I met Amy, and so I did the, you know, what English blokes do when they meet a girl that they like. They sort of stand on one leg and flap their arms around and sort of say some nonsense or something, you know, and then I played a lot of records.
And Amy did what American girls always do when British guys do that, is... be charmed.
I guess that's true. I don't know. Like I just asked him to come up and play his song with me.
Yeah, and it was Whole Wide World, which was a hit, which was, you know, a romantic song. And actually, the place that we were in was the first place that I ever played it, because I wrote it when I lived there. And I used to play it in this club, in this upstairs room.
The same place we were playing.
The Bull
and
Hotel.
And he said, "You're playing it in the wrong key."
It was a joke, really. But it's got two chords in it, and both of yours are wrong.
Well, okay, you guys should play something now. You're going to play something from your new record, right?
We're going to play something from our first record.
Oh, okay, good.
But then we've got some tracks we brought for you from our brand new record. So this new record is our third together, and we made the first back in 2008. And
The first one was called Reckless Eric and Amy Rigby, because you know it took a whole team, a whole committee to work out that. And then we did an
album. That's what happened with my radio show title.
What?
I thought really
Shomer Show.
Yeah.
Shomer Show.
You really wanted something.
Brought together a crack team.
Yeah.
Did some focus groups.
You probably paid through the nose to get that, didn't you? Yes. I like paid through the nose. It's kind of like, makes you
painful.
Think that your nose might burst forth with dollar bills or something, or $100 bills all kind of rolled up and coming out of your nose. Wouldn't that be fantastic?
Too graphic for me. I don't know.
I don't care how bloody graphic it is. I'm going to invent it. Right. Are we going to play this?
So we're
going to
play this one from
the
first Reckless Eric and Amy Rigby album.
I'll stick this microphone down here a bit.
Each other for a little while, and you were never known for your grace or your style, but I miss you so, you're so hard to replace. We were together through the rain and snow, down in Birmingham, up in Oklahoma.
you're so hard to replace. Astro Man, you took me far away. Astro Man, you worked so I could play. Astro Man, I turn your radio up and go. Astro Man, they left you across town. Astro Man, I cried the day you were found. Some guy from Geico called and broke my heart. Said you were worth more now as a source for parts. And I wanted to scream, but I took the check. Last night I dreamed that we were riding again, and it felt so good to be with you, my friend. I think I'll walk for a while, 'cause I spent the check. Astro Van, life through a cracked windshield. Astro Van, new brakes and gasket seals. Astro Van, yeah, you were more than just a ride. Astro Van, they left you across town. Astro Van, I cried the day you were found.
Wow.
An ode to a van.
You know, I was sitting here thinking, like, how do I sort of get, how do I ask a question that would help sort of, like, get into what music must mean to you guys, because you've both been doing it for such a long time. And then I heard your line. Did you write that one, Amy?
Yeah.
And then I heard the line, "I'll see you on the other side." And I thought, well, that says something, like, you're a touring musician and your van gets, like, stolen and busted and you're dreaming about being reunited with it in heaven.
So true.
So I don't want to be reunited with any of the vans that have died.
I know, that's the sad thing. They're all such pathetic vehicles, you know, that no one would ever think, like, would be something you'd ever want to see again. You'd think someone was doing you a favor by taking it away from you. But
what are you going to do without a van?
So attached.
Well, I mean, hopefully we've still got one, you know.
Was it that van that... Is that a real story?
It was
a real story?
Of many, many vans.
But I loved it being about a van, because the first time, like, we were sort of going out, and, like, she starts playing this song at a gig, and I'd never heard it before, and what's the first line?
We only had each other for a little while. And it's like a romance.
And it was like down in Birmingham, up in Ohio, and she was like with this bloke in Birmingham before who was like a creep. I mean, we were ages of knowing each other and sort of skirting round each other before we actually got together, because like we were both with different people and having unsuitable relationships and stuff like that, you know, and one of them was involved Birmingham, really, and when I heard that song,
so like a bad romance with the whole town.
Yeah, well, no, the towns are all right if you like that kind of thing. I prefer the Birmingham in England, really, which is something I thought I would never say in a million years, you know. But I mean, have you been to Birmingham, Alabama? It's a bit weird.
No, but isn't that where Hank Williams is from?
Montgomery.
He's from. Right.
Oh, yeah.
It's an interesting place. But anyway, he thought the song was about love.
Wait a minute, you know. It's like when Amy has a kind of a history of drummers, don't you?
True, I was married to a drummer. And
well, when I first met you, you were married to Will Rigby of the DBs. And so you guys were kind of like this amazing, like, power pop couple. Yeah, I remember being like sort of devastated when you guys broke up. Isn't that nerdy?
That is so, I mean, well, you know, it is sad when anybody breaks up.
She's gone up in the world. I mean, she's not with drummers. She's with lead singers now. I mean, that's better than a drummer, isn't it?
Now he seems to prefer playing the bass.
I was going to say, drummer to bass player has a smaller step up.
Yeah. But the bass is a noble instrument, so it's...
Yeah, I like playing the bass.
You play it beautifully. That you did. You practically did a solo in that last song. That was
I didn't
great.
Mean to. You know, I mean,
it's lovely.
You won't tell anyone, will you?
It was quite well done.
Oh, thank you.
How do you you guys are sort of part of this wave of people sort of recreating how you do what you do for this like day and age, right? You did a Kickstarter campaign and you're going to self-release your CD, and Amy, you do a blog, and you seem to be fairly well adapted to like what you do now,
which is
so different than
Eric,
like the mid-80s or
90s. Eric does a radio show of his own. You know,
I used to
like
before we moved.
He's done a bunch of like half-hour little online shows that people download and can listen to. And I don't know. I mean,
we're completely indie, if you like, independent. We are like what punk rock was, you know. Punks is I hate the way people think that punk is now. There's an idea in England that it was some kind of working class revolution, and it wasn't. They were all down the disco. We were all the children of divorced parents. We were the divorce generation. We were art students. We had a little bit of money. We had student grants and stuff. We could waste our time, and we wasted our time beautifully, I thought, you know. And this idea that punk is kind of a Mohican haircut and a horrible leather jacket with anthrax painted on the back of it, or some rubbish like that, it's really a distortion. It's a distortion of the truth. It's a distortion of history. But the whole thing was just this handmade, homemade, small scale, like the celebration of the unique object. There's people who still do that. I like this idea that there's cassette labels now. And like every cassette is almost unique because some guy sat there burning them off, you know?
Yeah.
And
it does, it is kind of full circle in some way.
I stopped making records. I made my first records in a studio in North London, an 8-track studio, which was called Pathway, and that was where all the early Stiff records came, all the good ones came out of there, and it was a dump. It was like just a garage that had been soundproofed, and it had an office upstairs with an echo plate in it. And the control room you could get three people into, and all these great records came out of it. And it was one step above homemade. And when I did a couple of albums in posh places, some sort of like residential studio, and I did one in the Pink Floyd studio. And then after that, by the end of the end of the 70s, the beginning of the 80s, I never wanted to go in a recording studio again. And I didn't actually record an album. The last album I recorded in a recording studio, a proper studio, was in 1984, and all my records have been homemade ever since.
Wow. Will you guys play another song?
And that's what we...
Sure.
I was just rambling there.
I just am, unfortunately, like at 2 o'clock we have to stop, and I don't want to deny our listeners the chance to hear more of your music.
Okay, right.
Okay. For our second album, we did songs by other people, and this is a P.F. Sloan song.
Right. Okay. I almost played that today, but I didn't.
From the first cry of a baby to the age of 55, I search my soul to find myself, but I'm still unrecognized. One-way streets, walls of concrete, two restless feet, all I've got.
Great.
Wow.
That was loud and powerful.
Come see us play in Kingston.
Oh, yeah.
You guys
Kingston.
Are playing Saturday at BSP in Kingston.
Yeah, we do like to play. That's why we do it.
We
love to play.
We don't play We haven't been playing very often because we were living in France and it was bloody depressing. So we moved here and it was very complicated.
I don't know what was wrong with France, except you guys said you were kind of isolated. Maybe you were not in a sort of urban area.
Don't get me started.
Yeah. Please, okay.
I've done 13
France was
years.
Terrible, and then you came here.
In France. The worst thing is I learnt the language. I can speak French fluently, and I hate it. I suddenly went, what have I done? It's the most depressing language. It's grim. It's grim. It's not suited to the modern world. It's not
anyway,
expressive.
There's some beautiful 19th century poetry written
in
French.
It was an interesting experience.
That was then.
It was something, a great luxury, really, to be able to live in another land. And now we've chosen to live here. We really
in Catskill.
Like it. Yeah, yeah. We love it here. And but we just have finished this new record. We're about to put that out and start doing a lot more shows than we have in the last year. We really haven't played that much.
I hope that's not going to cut too much into your spotty dog time, Amy.
No. Please save a place for me there. I love working there.
You
I
don't
love it.
Lose the job.
No.
The day job.
It's so fun. Could we play something from the new
yes,
record?
Yes. Let's play something from the new record. Eric, why don't you fiddle with this thing?
All right. Okay.
Because if I break it, I'll feel really guilty about that.
I like you if you break it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
That thing has flown across the stage at a few gigs. Yeah, it's a little iPod that's...
switches itself off when you're not looking.
Oh, well, they're good about that because they don't want to drain your battery.
Yeah,
because
it's
they
my business, not its business.
Yeah, I know. They're taking over.
Yeah,
the machines are taking over.
Yeah. And it's got the silly touch sensitive thing. Have you ever had to deal with one of those?
Yeah, I have an iPod.
This is a horrible one.
This is like the cheapest piece of crap that they, we're always on a very tight budget. And then we spend,
is it
the
an
rest
Acer?
Of the time. It's like the Astrovan, and then you spend all your time making up for, that small outlay of cash.
Push the button, it will start if I push
well,
the button.
Here, how about, is it the OK
just
button?
Push the OK button.
Well, you guys introduce the song and tell us, the CD is called?
A Working Museum.
A Working Museum.
It's like being a heritage act.
That's what someone at a club we played at said. Yeah, we like getting you heritage acts in, and it was like, oh my God, we've passed into we're a diorama in the Museum of Natural History.
Are you getting
with rock instruments and the Vans in there? And
Oh wow. Well, yeah. Are you getting the requests to sort of play Diary of a Mod Housewife beginning to end, like at Coachella?
Oh,
yet?
I've done that already.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody asked me. I just did it. I did that about 7 years ago.
I want to do that.
Ago.
I'd be happy if we just went out and did that. I'd just sit at the back and play along.
Well, I'm going to have to get a younger person to play me. That's the sad thing.
No, not at
I'm
all.
Past childbearing age, so I'd have to get a younger.
You're cuter than ever,
and I'd
Amy.
Be under, I'd be like the granny there.
You could be undercover.
Telling the story.
You could be sort of singing into and have a younger person
in a mini skirt.
No way.
No.
Okay, so you made this record, and we're going to hear some new stuff.
Yeah.
What's the song that we're going to hear?
It's called Sombreros in the Airport.
Yeah.
That's an intriguing title.
It's a sad song.
We thought you might like it, Karen. So
I'm going to. I love it already.
If it'll work.
I think it's going to pop.
Too early for the shuttle bus.
We need a coffee.
You guys, was that like your Odyssey and Oracle tribute or something? Like,
maybe a little.
What's
bit of
Odyssey
rock
and Oracle? Oh, I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I forgot.
I'm getting too jargony over here. Oh, I'm getting rock criticky.
She's a nerd.
I already confessed that part. Not shocking anybody. No, it was this like kind of cool like psychedelic thing, but also like had that like homemade thing that you're talking about.
The whole album is cool, psychedelic, and homemade.
A working museum.
Yeah.
Nice. How? I wonder why those characters had sombreros with them in the airport. I must have missed that line.
That's what you see. You see it all the time at like a certain time of year. It's the end of the summer, especially like in Spain, you know, like people are or coming through England, and like they're a bit sunburnt and they're a bit hungover, and like they're trying to deal with these blasted sombreros that you can tell they're wishing that they hadn't really bought, but they did. And then there's the English people who've been to Texas. They always buy Stetsons and they walk around in them trying to look normal.
It's really hard to travel with a hat.
Yeah. Hats and travel. The whole album is about hats and travel.
You're taking the lid off that topic, aren't you?
Lids, that's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
I loved it. It sounds great, you guys. And thank you for having your world premiere here on WGXC. I haven't reintroduced you lately for people who tuned in. This is Amy Rigby and Reckless Eric, two musicians who've been all over the globe and who have accomplished many things between them. And they now live in Catskill, and they have an album coming out and also a show on Saturday in Kingston at BSP Productions that I would be going to if I weren't working.
Yeah. Oh, well, we hope some of the other listeners can come.
They should. They really should. Okay, well, we have like 6 minutes left. How can we maximize having you here?
Play something else from the record.
Are you sure? Please. You're not going to play more songs live?
No.
You sound really sure of that, Amy.
Well, we didn't talk
could.
About...
We could.
What should we play? Like a summertime
yeah,
song?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Oh, you guys are good sports. Thank you so much for coming in.
This will make us some enemies.
We're gonna play a silly song. Right. Okay.
Okay.
Will I start it?
Yeah.
Right. Hold on. What are you doing? You're in the wrong key.
What?
Again. You're in the wrong key again, Amy.
Really?
She has this. What key do you play?
I thought we always played it in F, but okay.
No, we don't.
Okay.
I thought the world had
here
ceased.
Here we go then. Okay. That was so shocking.
Yes!
Jesus did it, so I guess it's all right. But no matter how hard I try, I can't get used to it. And who am I to deny them their right? But if you ask me, there's really no excuse for it. Men in sandals. Look at the Romans, wait, I think I'd rather not. Came up with more stuff than you can shake a stick at. Their empire fell, but they gave us a lot. One thing remains I'd like to throw a brick at. Men in sandals.
Men in sandals. Men in sandals. Men in sandals.
Somebody really put their foot in it when they thought this kind of display was gonna be okay. We see the need
for comfort and speed, but dear God, there's gotta be a better way. On the Opry stage, it pains me so to picture his toes freed up. The Beatles came along in this enlightened age. They play him like fish, you can't kick ass in Tevas. Men in sandals. Grandfathers, frat brothers, rich guys and hips, finding new ways to make us suffer. Baggy shorts and throw some socks into the mix. Meanwhile, I pray for end of summer, fewer men in sandals.
I'm with you.
Do you agree?
Yeah.
It is a problem.
You know, I've got footwear issues though, so I don't like to point
your
a finger so
okay.
much. Well, that I only now wear like rubber-toed sneakers, pretty much. Like that's the only thing I can go out in without feeling. I think that's the footwear for people who can't make footwear decisions, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're just going to put some Converse
it's
on
like,
and
it's
just
like
middle like, age let
men
it go.
Wearing black.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a real it's a sad thing you see bands like that.
I make exceptions, though, for the...
She does.
He says I pull back from my stance, you know, on the men in sandals. You know, like flip-flops don't seem to really...
Flip-flops are okay.
...enter into it, but...
Especially on the beach. What are you going to do?
And if they're nice Italian sandals, you know, like, it depends. But you know the kind of...
I'm beginning to like sandals with socks. I mean, I don't want to wear them myself, but I enjoy seeing them. And the other thing is the comb-over. The comb over's dying out.
You know,
I think it's going to make a re what's it? You know, it's like there's going to be ironic comb overs and sandals with socks.
And where are you on Crocs? Men in Crocs.
I think we're going to have a whole generation of young people with misformed feet. You know, they grew up wearing Crocs and. What's that going to do to their feet? I'm just wondering.
You've got some nice shoes over there, Amy.
Hey,
see, I wouldn't know how to do that.
They're Sideshow. They're vintage, you know, like...
Are they wedges?
Yeah, they're a slight wedge from the 70s.
Wow. See, you know how... You're a girl...